We are soul tired because we're coming against a culture of reactive defeat, one that assumes exhaustion is inevitable instead of fighting for rest. We idolize busyness over a sustainable pace and reward women for pushing through rather than blessing our God-given boundaries. This quote comes from today's guest book, Tired of Being Tired. And if that's you, this episode is for you. But before I welcome her to the show, I want to welcome you to Real Talk with Rachel. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert, and I'm a therapist on a mission to bridge the gap between faith and therapy. These episodes are meant to be educational, not a replacement for your therapist. Stick around until the end of today's show for our Let's Get Real Practical segment. This is where I share counselor-proof strategies to take this topic discussed with today's guest and make it relevant in your everyday life through simple action steps. If you've been around for the show for very long, you know that I ask all my guests to share a fun fact about them at the beginning of the show, and I want to share with you right now a fun fact about me. I had a major blooper in this interview that I decided to leave in so you can hear it. I could have easily had my show producer edit it out, but I decided to leave it because it painted a beautiful example of what happens when we are mentally exhausted. I am not going to tell you what it is. I want to see if you can spot it in the show, and then we'll discuss it in the Let's Get Real Practical segment. All right, let me go ahead and introduce you to today's guest. You may already know her, but in case you don't, this is Jess Connolly that we're talking with today. She's the author of and the co-author of several books, including Wild and Free, You're the Girl for the Job, and Breaking Free from Body Shame. Along with her husband, Nick, she planted Bright City Church in South Carolina, where they live with their four children. Jess is a woman who wants to leave her generation more in awe of God than she found it. She's passionate about family, God's word, and seeing women take their place in the kingdom. Oof. Okay, Jess is a powerful, anointed woman of God. As I just mentioned there, she has also written a book on body image. Hers is called Breaking Free from Body Shame. Mine is called Image Restored. We actually talked a little bit about that in today's episode, so you can check both the books out on Amazon. But please go ahead and just help me welcome Jess to the show as we discuss why every woman is so tired, and how we can reclaim the rest God has in store for us. Well, hey, Jess, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful for you and so grateful for your work.
Thank you. Well, I was telling you before we hit record, I'm very grateful for your work. You've written many amazing books, and every one of them, it's like you peeped into our journals and we're like, oh, that's what people are struggling with right now. And of course, we know that's the Holy Spirit just showing you what is the message in due season. And so I love that about you, that you're tuned into the Holy Spirit and what he's saying for you to do next. And that inspires me in my work as well. Yeah.
Thank you, friend.
Yeah. So we're going to talk today about your new book. Before we jump into that, I like to ask all my listeners, what is something maybe random about you that they would not know from just me reading your bio to them?
Ooh, I love that question. What is something random people would not know about me? I mean, I think a lot of people who even follow me online, this is going to sound hilarious, I hope, I don't know, whatever. But I am like, I really like to have fun, and I laugh a lot. And I have sometimes audited my own social media and paying attention, and I'm like, I think I come across pretty serious. And in general, I am like a deep thinker, but I like to laugh, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I can relate to that so much, because I feel like that's me as well. I'm like, man, I do come across really deep. But then my family, we were just talking the other night, how they're like, Mom, you make up a song for everything. And I do. I'm like
I love that.
And sometimes I don't know I'm doing it. And then I'll hear my kid, like my son was chanting a song that I sing a lot. I have this little thing, we are getting through this. Yeah, we're getting through this. Like when we're doing something hard. And I heard him singing it, and I was like, do I sing that out loud? Like I do it in my head all the time.
That is so funny.
Yeah. So yes, I'm with you. Yeah.
My family has a new song that we sing, that we do sing out loud, and it's less of a song and more of a chant. But if this tells you what our house is like, our new chant, our new family chant is first to get there, last to leave, shut it down, the Connollys. That's what we say.
I love it.
Because we're a church family.
Yeah.
So we will also often be like, first to get there. And then somebody else says, last to leave. And then somebody says, shut it down, Connollys. And it makes us laugh.
It makes us giggle. Yeah. That's so fun. I love it. I grew up, I'm a pastor's kid. So I'm like, yep, I know that. First to get there, last to leave.
First to get there, last to leave.
I love that. Okay. And also your hat. I can't help but look at your green cowboy hat. So cute. I'm like, I need this hat.
Thank you. It's making my day. My team all got this hat because we use the cowboy hat emoji to say like, all right, let's go. That's our way. If somebody sends the cowboy hat emoji in the group chat or in Slack, they're saying like, all right, let's go. So I got us all this hat that says cowboy hat on it.
That's so cute. So yeah, you have fun at work too. You're like,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I love it. Okay. So let's jump in. So your recent book that is releasing literally, I think 2 weeks after we're even talking here, Tired of Being Tired. And the subtitle is Receive God's Realistic Rest for Your Soul Deep Exhaustion. Ooh, let's talk about it. And I love how, you know, I've started reading the book. It's so good. And you mentioned in there that every woman we talk to, I think all of us listening, says, I'm tired. And it's so true. And I love even you mentioned in the book that you're like, you can talk to a mom who has preschool kids and you can talk to an empty nester and they're saying the same thing. Why do you think this is? Yeah.
Oh, so many reasons. I mean, I think in general, we live under kind of what I like to call like a defeated acceptance about exhaustion. We're reactively just kind of responding to what we think it's supposed to be like. And so I think we've overtly and we've subtly just been told that this is what life is. It's just exhausting. It's a series of saying, I just have to get through the next 2 weeks over and over and over again. I think that in all of these different seasons, we have these kind of different reasons for just accepting exhaustion. But I also think the reason why we're so tired, and I say this just to give a huge dose of grace and compassion at the beginning, is because to live in the year 2024 is exhausting. And that's why we're tired. Mentally, it's too much. Emotionally, it's too much. Physically, there are so many demands and so many asks being placed on our bodies environmentally, but also strategically and logistically, that it's exhausting. And I think spiritually, even those of us by grace through faith who walk with Jesus, there's a level of spiritual exhaustion when we let the gospel grow cold or when we misunderstand our place in the kingdom. And so the quick answer is we're tired because life is tiring. And the kind of deeper question is, I think we're staying tired because we're accepting this defeat of like, this is just the way it's supposed to be. This is the way it's always going to be.
Yeah, one of your chapters, I think, is titled of something like, I'll just get through this. What's it called? If I can just get through this next thing.
Just the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
Yep. I think we hear women saying that over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the moments, even for me. I'm in a very busy spring season, which aren't we all, right? I'm like, aren't we all? And I just last week was like, okay, if I just get through this next event then, and then I had opened up your book and I'm like, oh, okay. Wait a second. Never mind. Yeah. So that hit me. Like it hit me real time. And so I know that we're not alone in that. And what do you feel like is some of the things that prevents us as women from giving ourselves that permission just to rest?
Okay. I love that you asked that question. And honestly, that question inside the question is the answer. So if the question is, what is keeping us from giving ourselves permission to rest? The answer is really, we don't need permission to rest.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. Mm. We don't need permission to rest.
Yeah.
We actually have invitation to rest from God. Even more so, if we want to like mince, you know, words and get careful about it, we actually have not just invitation from rest, but a commandment from God to rest. Mm. And it's a call to obedience. But it's not because God wants rest from us. It's because he wants rest for us. And so I find that the enemy of our souls wants us asking this question, how can I give myself permission to rest? But the problem with that question is there is no answer to it. There is never enough that we can do that will make us feel like we deserve rest. if we accept the premise of the question, which is that you have to deserve rest, that you have to earn it. So more than I want to give women kind of a litany or a list of things that will make them feel like they have permission to rest, I want to remind them, maybe for the first time, tell them you actually don't need permission to rest. You have invitation. You have something even better than permission.
Yes. Oh, that's so great. And it makes me think about, I don't remember where I heard this, but that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Like not a rules and a thing, but it's like an invitation, you know, like the Lord knew you're going to need this. This is my invitation to you to take it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's actually Jesus's words. He's the one who says that.
Okay. Thanks, Jess.
In the New Testament.
I'm like, where did I read that?
Yeah. Jesus. It's his words. In the New Testament, Jesus is with his disciples and the Pharisees come and they're trying to trap his disciples because they're not resting right on the Sabbath. And Jesus says, like, excuse me, the Sabbath is not for the man.
Yeah.
Or the man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for the man. This isn't something that God wants from us. It's something he wants for us. So you coming and telling me that I'm not resting right when actually I am God is not correct. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know about you, Jess, and even the listeners, if you can relate to this. Is it for me, it takes an act of faith because I know I've talked to many women and I've wrestled with this myself of it's the war in our head of, okay, if I take this invitation and I rest, then what happens the next day? It's almost like I've even heard a woman say to me once, it's almost like I'm getting punished for resting because now my work the next day is double, right? Like, oh, all the stuff I would have done, I didn't do. Can we speak into that a little bit too?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, number one, I will say this. This is another great reason why we hear women say all the time, like, oh, I just don't feel like I can ever rest if there's more to do or if I have more on my to-do list. The bad news of this whole situation is there's always going to be more to do. Like, the list is literally never going to be done. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the laundry is actually never going to be done unless you do them all naked and then nobody wears clothes the next day. Like, the laundry's not going to be done. So it's going to keep going. The question is, do we need to see accomplishment more than we need to feel at home in our bodies and in our souls?
Ooh.
Do we need to see the finished pile, the finished to-do list, the clean email inbox? Do we need the acceptance and the approval of others more than we need communion with God, our own bodies, and our people? And that's kind of like a big, like, honestly, a spiritual question for us to wrestle with and for us to figure out and sort out. But for any woman who would specifically say, like, my problem is I rest and there's more work to be done, or I feel like my list's doubled, or I feel like I'm being punished, I would give her this beautiful picture that we find in Genesis. So when I tell people we're going to talk about rest in Genesis, everybody is always like, yeah, I know. God rested during creation, which is true. But what it is actually, I find, just even more wild is how God patterns rest into the creation of the earth when he creates day and he creates night. So he says, all right, I made the sun and it's good. I made the moon and it's good. But then he does this wild switcheroo in Genesis where as he sets the earth in motion, he says there was evening and then there was morning the first day. And so what he does is actually creates a pattern where we work from our rest. We don't rest from our work. Mm-hmm. And so I would tell the woman who feels like, I feel like I'm being punished because there's more. There's that, just more to do. Again, there is always going to be more to do. But how in the world are you ever going to do any of it if you don't rest first? Because our souls, our bodies, our minds, and our emotional lives were meant to work, to carry, to cultivate in this earth from a place of rest. And so we'll never be prepared for any of it unless we start to embrace some realistic rhythms that help us be recreated.
Yeah. And that's so true because I even think about days that I do in weeks where I get true rest. Like yesterday I had an awesome Sabbath and one of my daughters and I, we walked down to our pond and painted and it was just awesome. I'm not going to say I'm not going to say I knock it out of the park every week, but we had an awesome rest day yesterday.
Yeah.
And this morning I woke up with more energy, with just more ready to go, like not feeling, you know, as overwhelmed in my head and different things. And it's just such a reminder. I'm like, again, what a gift it is. it is, right? Like, it's such a get to, I have to do this thing, but it's like, oh, wow, that felt so good. I got to just be a daughter for a day even, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Another thing I appreciated that you did is you broke things down into spiritual exhaustion, mental exhaustion, physical. And so can we talk a little bit about each of those? Like, let's start even just in with spiritual. Can you tell me about what that really looks like and how could I recognize if I'm maybe wrestling with some spiritual exhaustion?
Yeah. In the book, I kind of define spiritual exhaustion as anytime we trade abundance for obligation. Mm. So anytime we kind of start thinking, I have to do this or I should do this in regards to our walk with God, this is kind of crazy. Can I tell you something? This is kind of crazy. This is not in the book at all, but this is something I just found out, just studying God's word, like on my own. I found out something really interesting that the phrase, the hands and feet of Jesus, like we are the hands and feet of Jesus, is actually not in the Bible anywhere.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 12 says we're the body of Christ. And in that, Paul says, would the hand say to the foot or would the foot, you know, say to the mouth, like, I don't need you. But that's a passage about unity in the church. But even just finding out this little thing, I was like, it is so interesting that I sometimes walk around with this existential pressure where I'm like, I have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what I found from my own life is that I spent a lot of years assuming all of this kind of weighty, urgent responsibility that I thought God was putting on me. When instead, again, he wasn't necessarily putting burdens on me about what he needed me to do in the kingdom or what he needed from me for me to walk with him. But instead, there was all this invitation and abundance. There was an invitation to use my God-given gifts. There was an invitation to serve people. There was an invitation to love people, because that also leads to my abundance and my healing and my freedom. But God is actually wildly capable of giving his own glory. God is wildly capable of bringing people to him. God is wildly capable of healing. And me being a part of all that work is about my joy and about me getting to see him in a bigger perspective and about me getting to be a part of the redemption and restoration of other people, which is, again, just joy. Sometimes hard, sometimes costs me, sometimes weighty, and serving often is, but none of it is about obligation. And so I find that spiritual exhaustion is any time we're approaching anything with God as a have to instead of a get to. Mm-hmm. So reading the Bible, this is something God wants from me. He's going to be frustrated with me. I think a lot of us will notice we have these refrains in our head about if we're good Christians or not, if we're good at praying or not, if we're good at reading our Bibles or not, and then like what we perceive God will do for us. Even the phrase, I've been talking to people about this for the last few years, this idea of like getting closer to God. And it's language that I really, really wrestle with, because I think a lot of us perceive that there's kind of this ladder we could walk up in godliness and even sanctification. When by grace through faith, if you walk with God, you are in the throne room of grace. You are at the feet of Jesus. There are no scales. You know, there are no level of some people who are closer to God because they're more godly, because redemption and restoration and sin and holiness doesn't work like that. So that's a long answer to say, I believe spiritual exhaustion comes anytime we trade abundance and intimacy with God for obligation.
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful answer of just that, exactly, that it will, when we receive that pressure almost, if you will, then the peace disappears, right? And so then it's like, oh, yes, it's all this pressure and it sucks the life right out of it. Something that was meant to be life-giving. And doesn't that just have the enemy's fingerprints all over it, right?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. So of course he wants to steal our joy about walking with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay. Now let's dip into physical exhaustion, which I know that's a big, big one, especially for the women who are listening. And, you know, before we hit record, we were talking about both you and I have written books on body image, which I love.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have not read her book, Breaking Free from Body Shame, go grab a copy. Highly recommend it. And Jess, you know, I love that you, I remember, I'll share this publicly and with you too. I remember your book released, I don't remember how much longer, maybe a year or two before mine. I don't remember how long, but I just remember when it came out, I had somebody send me a message and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. Or she's like, are you so sad? Like she was feeling sad that you had written a book on body image. And I was like, no, I'm not sad. Like, cause you know, I was like, she's rolling out the red carpet. Like you and I were just discussing. I was like, this is a conversation that can't be talked about enough or from enough different angles or like, you know, I'm like, no, she totally like I'm excited about it. Like, this is a conversation that needs to be had. Same. And so I know when it comes to this physical exhaustion, there's so many, I mean, it's very complex, obviously that is, but also, I know a lot of it stems from the pressure. Again, there goes that pressure, that obligation that's not from the Lord that we can sometimes feel around our bodies. So let's dip into that. And even if you want to share any of your story on your, you know, where you've had to wrestle through that as well.
Totally. And same. I'm so grateful for your work. I want as many women who feel called to write about body image, because it's wild that it feels like, right, we've had two or three books come out recently in the last 5 years. That's two or three.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need dozens. We need dozens of women.
Well, compared to the number of new weight loss programs that have released in the last five sure. years, right?
Exactly.
Probably thousands, maybe into the millions by now. I don't know, but
I'm so grateful we get to be in this together. I mean, it's wild. I told you this earlier, like for me, moving into rest felt like such a natural progression after like truly breaking free from body shame and talking about it so much. Because what I found is once I kind of broke off these lies about my body and about what it was made for and about what its purpose was and about what made it good and about what other people could say about it, I realized like, oh, there's also all these other pressures that I've placed on my body really truly to push past my body's natural boundaries and limitations. So interestingly, like, right, we talk about this in body image things, that what's so messed up about our culture is that we were actually overtly told in the 80s, early 90s, early 2000s that feeling hungry was like a great sign, right? If you felt hungry and you didn't eat, you were strong.
Yeah.
If you could ignore your body's hunger cues, that somehow was something to be praised. Well, the exact same thing is true for fatigue. And so as soon as I like broke free from body shame, started talking about that, I was like, wait, hold on a second. We're doing this exact same thing with fatigue.
Yeah.
It's becoming more taboo to like humble brag about how little you eat. It's not at all taboo to humble brag about how little sleep you get. You walk past a group of women in a church, some of them are going to be like, oh my gosh, I haven't slept through the night in 5 years. Some of them are going to be like, oh my gosh, I haven't had a day off in 6 months. And we are saying all of that as if it's good.
Yeah.
And it's something to be proud of. And so I realized like, oh my goodness, I've agreed that my body is good. I now treat my body like it's good. I tell other people their body is good. Now, wouldn't I give my body also what it needs in the boundaries of rest? So what I find about physical fatigue is that most of us just immediately want to play devil's advocate. And this is real. Like most of us immediately want to be like, well, I have a newborn, or you don't understand my work schedule, or I have all these physical ailments that keep me from sleeping. And some of that is very, very true. There are seasons of our life that are just physically taxing, that are just really, really hard. But I also find that for many of us, we're not necessarily victims to the problem of physical fatigue. We're volunteers and we're signing up for it just over and over and over again. And we're doing it for a lot of different reasons. Maybe because we believe lies about our body, maybe because we think it makes us strong to not pay attention to our own body's needs. But honestly, what helped me snap out of it a lot is thinking about this idea of like, what would my father say to me about my body? And would he praise me for like pushing harder and harder and harder when I'm exhausted? Or would he say like, hey, you know, your body's good. Why are you treating it like this? Why are you continually asking more of it than it's actually capable of? And then I think even like looking at the life of Jesus, it's estimated that at least 41 different times in the gospel, he's shown pulling away to either go be with God or to rest his body when he had such a short amount of time and so much work to do and every single reason not to rest. And yet he submitted to the boundaries and borders of being human and then honored his physical limitations often by resting. And so I was like, wow. Not only do I have God's invitation, I also have this example of taking care of my physical body in this way.
Yeah. Jess, I love how you even unpacked in your own story how it started with, you know, getting some healing in body image, and then now it's, you know, come over into looking at rest and things. Because if you, if you think about even like the disordered eating community becomes really experts in turning off the messages your body is sending, right? Like you become an expert, like you said, when you're hungry or even when you're full or whatever, or if you're over exercising, shush, I'm not injured, you know, like just pushing through, like silencing your body is really what you have trained yourself in. And so why I love that you shared that progression for yourself though, is I can relate to that as well, but is it also just shows how loving our Father is, and that it's almost like I got this visual of how he defrost us slowly. You know, it's like you're, it's like you're like you've been numb or you've been frozen. And so, okay, we're like, we're defrosting. We're okay. Now here's the next thing. Like we've dealt with this outer layer and we're coming in and getting to that root. And learning to turn that back on of like actually paying attention when we're tired rather than going, oh, I need more caffeine, pausing and going, wait, hold on. Why is it that I need my third cup of coffee today? And that still doesn't faze me, right? I know that just is a big wake-up call for so many of us. And just entering that with grace of going, okay, Lord, I have been really just out of tune with what I need. Will you just, as a loving Father, show me what does my body need? And that's my favorite part about bringing the Lord into all areas of our life, for sure, but especially even the physical. He can look into Jess's body and then also into my body and go, oh, Jess, you need this, but Rachel, you actually need this right now, right? Like he sees how individual we are. He fathers us right where we are. So I love that.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. How about practically speaking when it comes to physical? Because I know so many women can relate to this. Practically speaking, what does that, has that look like? I know you've implemented some strategies even in your own life to kind of work with your physical.
I mean, the bad news is, listen, we got to sleep.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to give women tips and tricks. And there are amazing little just practical ways. But we are going to also have to put our phones down and turn off the TV and, like, maybe rearrange our lives just a tiny bit to get an adequate amount of sleep for our bodies. That's kind of like the bad news, good news. It is that simple. Also, it is that simple. So, you know, I think a lot of us want a magic bullet. We want a supplement we can take. We want the right green smoothie episode recipe. we want something that'll make it easier, but we probably are going to have to sleep. And it's just wild because in 2024, there's so many things vying for our attention. And I get it. Like I want to sleep sabotage with the best of them. I want to stay up and hang out with my husband. I want to get up extra early and get more work done. But all of that is really a symptom of like maybe not living a slower life throughout the day as well. So there's just something to pay attention to about our pace. Do we need to slow down in the entirety of our life and in the time during our day so that we have more adequate time to sleep at night? So that's number one. I think, you know, it's interesting again, how like our, both of our body image work just kind of like deeply coincides with this, but I think just like truly learning to mother ourselves, mother our bodies. What does my body need? As if it was just a plant, you know, does it need sunlight? Does it need to move? Does it need to be nourished? Does it need to rest? And paying attention to those cues and making time for them is huge. But some other practical things would be absolutely removing, anything that's leading to like extreme mental fatigue, but that's like pushing into physical fatigue. So I think about things like blue light blockers or just like putting our phone to bed earlier in the evening, journaling, small practices that can actually help our sleep and then therefore help us make better choices during the day. But yeah, the big bummer is we all just need more sleep. Yeah. And the good news is sleep is free. You know, it might take sleep hygiene. It might take having better habits that help us stay asleep. It might help many of us to develop a bedtime routine so that our mind knows what's happening. But actually just getting an adequate amount of sleep for our bodies is going to be a big game changer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how all those tips you just shared, you premised it with, we understand that it's not always easy, right? Like that it is, it takes a little navigating. But I think my favorite part about this message and the other, you know, your body image message is that you've almost just, I guess I'll call it blow the horn on like, hey, this isn't normal. This doesn't need to be our way that we accept that things are, right? Yeah. And so that doesn't mean that it's just a quick fix and like, woohoo, you know, we're just We're right. fixing it all in one moment. But it's, I don't know about you, but I know for me, whenever the Lord just brings something to mind that that's actually not my very best for you, right? Like that's actually yes. not how I had intended for you to live life. When he reveals that, almost like takes those blinders off in an area for me, and I'm sure the listeners can relate to this, you just see it everywhere. Kind of like how when you're yeah. searching for a car, like you never have seen so many of that yes. car until you actually start paying attention to it. And that's what I love, is that the Holy Spirit will just be like, hey, there's a little pocket of time that, you know, maybe instead of being on your phone, we could do this instead, or, you know,
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real. Yeah. It's real.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Sabbath. I don't think this is a practice principle that we see many people participate in much. They really talk about much. I don't hear much talked about it. You want to share about yeah. that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love talking about Sabbath. It's an important practice for me. But that being said, I was pretty intentional in the book. I intentionally didn't mention any development of a Sabbath habit until about 50,000 words into the book. And that was intentional because I find that when we bring it up, people get really tripped up. Like either they don't know what it is, or like, what do you mean? Like a day off? Or like, isn't that just Sunday when I go to church? Or people kind of turn it into a task or a test they have to take, that they're like, I'm not good at Sabbath, or I don't know how to do it, or it doesn't work for our family. And so it just kind of turns into this whole hullabaloo. And again, as we heard Jesus say, like the Sabbath is for the man is not made for the Sabbath. So I don't want it to feel like pressure or like something people have to strive at. That being said, it is one of the commandments. So it's this guideline that God gave us that will help the rest of our life be patterned correctly, in the same way that that's how the other commandments are. Like, hey, you should honor your mother and father. That's going to help you live life. Hey, you should not lie. That is actually going to help you in society. You should not steal or cheat. That's going to serve you well. Don't have false gods. That's not going to go well. You should rest. You get to rest. And so for me, the most simplistic way that I can describe the Sabbath is that I would encourage people to try and see if they can take 24 hours enjoying God and the life he's given them. And that's it. 24 hours, not trying to get ahead, not trying to earn anything, not trying to prove anything, not trying to fix anything, but 24 hours just enjoying God. And the reason why I say that is because we get really legalistic about like, well, what about the dishes? Or women who have children are like, well, I have kids, I can't Sabbath. Or people get funky about like, should we drive? Should we not drive? Should we eat out? Should we not? And I would say all of that is to be discussed with Holy Spirit about our own conviction levels. But the point of Sabbath is to enjoy God. Mm. The point of Sabbath is not to enjoy God the way you think you're supposed to, not to like sit in a room and be silent like a monk if you think that's what you're supposed to do, but to enjoy God and the life he's given you. And here's what's wild about developing a Sabbath rhythm. Once you start to develop a Sabbath rhythm and you take it and you say like, I'm going to enjoy God for 24 hours. I'm going to celebrate this life he's given me. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to be grateful, but I'm going to enjoy it. Whether that means being in community or making a great meal or laughing with my family or hanging out with my friends, whatever that looks like, you will be so almost addicted to it. It will not become a struggle anymore. You will not even want to wait for the next week for your Sabbath. And so that's what I tell people who start to feel like stressy about it, when they're like, oh, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. Or what about this? Or what about that? I'm like, just, you're doing it wrong. Just enjoy God for 24 hours and try not to get ahead. And you will be so expectant for the next day that you could do that again. You won't want to wait. You'll want to come back for it.
Okay, I'm seriously like teary-eyed over here, because I just got, first of all, you just broke some shackles off some people when it comes to what does this look like, and just breaking it down simply. But why I was just getting a bit emotional listening to you talk is it made me even just think of like a date day with God, right? Like yes. I have dates with my husband, and you don't have to remind me, hey, get that date on your husband. You know, are you sure you've done that yet? I mean, we just do it because we love it, right? We love each other's yeah. company. It's so fun. And it's just us. We get to hang out or have fun or talk or whatever. And so just to flip the script on, oh, it's this thing I need to do versus, ooh, yay. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do this week? How are we going to spend our day this yes. week? That sounds so fun to me. I love that. Okay. Well, we have to wrap up, but two of the areas we didn't get to touch on. And so if you want to like, no pressure, but you know, speak into the mental and emotional exhaustion, even just like anything you want to, you know, there. And then of course they just need to get your book and read deeper of all the things, but yeah. Or any final word of encouragement you'd like to share too.
Yeah. I mean, mental and emotional exhaustion are so helpful. It's funny because when we talk about physical exhaustion, we're like, okay, what can we do to fight it? And there's other tips in the book that are not just sleep. There are other tips, you know, there's tips that'll help you hopefully sleep or help you, you know, even experience sleep in a more life-giving way. But what's cool about mental and emotional exhaustion is that there are so many little things that we can shift about our life. And oftentimes we don't realize, like we feel tired, we experience fatigue, and we assume it's physical, or maybe we're like, oh, this could be like existential, this could be spiritual, but oftentimes it's just mental and emotional. Like we haven't taken time to process our emotions, so we find ourselves crying throughout the day, or our brain feels overloaded because we haven't just like made a to-do list of what we need to get done next week or the next day. And because of that, we feel so mentally tired that we feel physically overwhelmed. So what I love about mental and emotional fatigue and mental and emotional rest is it's so accessible. It's not necessarily taking a whole day off or making sure you get 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night. Sometimes it's really small little shifts that we can make that actually help us in every other area of our life. And I think that people who maybe haven't paid attention to their emotional or mental fatigue will feel really, really, really encouraged and relieved when they start to pay attention to them.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you for helping us just sort through some of these things. I know the listeners are going,
my joy. Okay,
I want to know more. So where can they obviously connect with you, get the book, all the things?
Yeah. I'm on jessconnolly.com is my website, Jess A. Connolly on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, all that. And the book is Tired of Being Tired. And you can find it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target.com, any of those sites.
All right. That's exciting. So thank you again for just speaking into all these topics that we need to be talking about more. And I'm grateful for you and your work. And thank you for your time to come talk with my listeners. We appreciate you.
So grateful for you. Thank you for your work too.
It's time for Let's Get Real Practical. This is the part of the show where we take the topic discussed with today's guest and we get into some practical steps you can implement into your life right now. All right. Did you spot the blooper in today's show? I'm sure you did. I can't imagine that you didn't. But in case you didn't, how about whenever I wasn't sure where the quote came from about the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath? Now, if you know me at all, and if you've been around here at all, please know I would totally admit to you if I just straight up did not know that. But I know that. I'm pretty sure I've even written little cute graphics with that verse on it before. And I am sharing this with you today because I'm not even kidding. When I was interviewing Jess, I really and truly had a moment. We call that brain fog. Other people I've heard, I've even heard it called brain fart. I just had a brain fart. I had that as I was interviewing today. And I truly, in that moment, was thinking, did I read that on like an Instagram graphic or something? Now, truth be told, maybe I actually did, because have you guys ever noticed that a lot of people take Bible verses and make cute graphics of them, but then don't credit the Bible for them? So I probably have actually, you know, seen that somewhere on Instagram. But I truly had a moment where I was not sure where I had heard that before. And here's why I'm sharing this with you. Yes, it's funny. And, you know, Jess and I laughed it off and I'm here laughing it off with you. It's not the end of the world. I'm not feeling shame around this or anything. I truly believe it's funny. But here's why I'm telling you the backstory is because I actually broke one of my, I guess we'll call it a mental and an emotional boundary in interviewing Jess in the day that I interviewed her. So something I've set in place for myself, I learned probably last year or so, I do not love to conduct podcast interviews the same day that I counsel. It's just two different sides of myself. Counseling is very emotionally and mentally and spiritually exhausting. I love the work I do, but it's deep and it can be hard at times. And so I put a boundary in place for myself about a year ago where I said, I am not going to both counsel and do podcast interviews on the same day. So I usually keep those things separate. But this spring, I have a bit of a busy schedule, and there's that word busy again, right? And I was preparing to be out of town. I was going out of the country, and I thought, I don't have a choice. I have to do this before I get out of town. And so I broke my boundary that I usually keep in place for a reason. And the result was some mental exhaustion on this episode. Now, I do believe that even in our, maybe not, even when we're not super wise, the Lord, he covers us, right? So this episode was still amazing. In fact, I kind of love it even more because you got to see real time what happened even with me when I broke one of my mental and emotional boundaries by trying to stack too many things into one day. And that's the point I want to get to is only you know you. The Lord knows you, but what works for Jess and I, it may not work for you. What worked last season may not work this season. And so I feel like I've been constantly challenged in a good way by the Lord of stopping to reevaluate every so often and go, is this still working? Do I need some mental rest, some emotional rest, physical, spiritual, all these different types of rest? And if so, what does that look like for me? I love how Jess mentioned that it's an invitation to rest. It is a gift from the Lord to rest. And so I know for me in this season, I am constantly pulling back and going, okay, Lord, I'm feeling that exhaustion coming on again. What happened? What shifted to where I maybe took on more than I needed to? Or maybe it's just the way in which I'm doing it, right? And so there's so much grace for this area. We're constantly kind of moving and learning and growing in this area. But I pray, I mean, by me just being real with you for a second and saying, guys, I made an error on today's episode simply because I tried to do too much in one day, right? Now, this error was a funny error. So yay, that's great that it was just a funny error. But sometimes our errors aren't very funny. Sometimes these errors look like me snapping at my husband or my kids because I'm exhausted, right? Sometimes these errors have a bigger price to pay than us just laughing that I misquoted Jesus, okay? That's funny and that's silly, but they're not always funny and silly, especially when your physical health starts to suffer, especially when your mental health is suffering. And so this is not always a laughing matter is what I'm trying to get at. And so before it turns into something bigger, let's stop and let's deal with it today. And that's exactly, you know, I prayerfully consider every guest who comes on this show. So while the day that I did interview Jess may not have been the very best day for me, I know that the Lord knew that was when she needed to come on this show because this is a message in due season for myself and for all of you listening. I very much resonate with what Jess mentioned, that if you think about it, you don't really meet anybody these days, no matter where they are in life, that is not just exhausted. And there's such a better way, and the Lord is inviting us into it today. So let's wrap up with just a couple practical questions. As I, you know, mentioned in the beginning, I always like to give you guys some practical steps that you can kind of think about through your week. So the first question I have for you is, what area of rest do you need to lean into with the Lord and maybe even reevaluate in this season? The next question is, what beliefs do you have about rest? And do those beliefs line up with truth from God's word? All right, let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for every single person who's sitting under the sound of my voice. Thank you, Father, that even when we don't always operate in wisdom and we don't make rest priority, you gently tap us on the shoulder and you remind us that there's a better way. May we be daughters who operate from a place of rest and grace. May we be gently convicted by the Holy Spirit when we stack up maybe just a few too many things on our plate that you didn't even ask us to put there. May you give us wisdom when we are carrying the things that you've asked us to, but you're asking us to do it in a little bit of a different way. Show us how to spend Sabbaths with you that's fun, that's exciting, that's inviting, not some religious ritual to follow. We receive your rest today. in ways only you can provide. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray today's episode blessed you. I know it did. I want to encourage you, definitely get a copy of Jess's book. I mean, in the 30 minutes her and I had together, we barely scraped the very tip of the iceberg. So there's so much more to be said here. And yeah, just go dig in, do the work. You're going to be so glad you did. While you're there, check out both her and my books on body image. I don't know. I haven't looked at Jess's recently, but I do know Image Restored has consistently been on sale on Amazon. In fact, last time I looked, it was actually on sale for $6, which I have not seen it that low. Not, can't promise it'll still be that low when you go check it out, but definitely look on Amazon and see if those are still on sale. All right, friends. Well, I pray this Real Talk episode brought you one step closer to living free and pursuing your God-given dreams. And I'll see you back here next time on Real Talk with Rachel.